Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
KFAR Radio, good afternoon, or good morning, I should still say. It's KFAR Radio, broadcasting live, 660 AM. Also on the FM dial at 975. We're also broadcasting live, kfarradio.com. Check us out. If you'd like to call in, 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. Hi, it's Melissa, hanging out in the studio today. David Prus is off in Juneau with legislative session and handling all the things that go along with city council. Today, we have decided to take things along the direction of school board. Brought in Miss April Smith to kind of do this thing with me. Good morning, April. How are you?
Morning, Melissa. Nice to see you again, my little school board compatriot.
A lot of fun we've been having lately. A lot of meetings, a lot of things going on. First things first, got ourselves a new superintendent.
Yeah, I'm really pleased with the process and the slate of three candidates that we brought into town to check things out and get to know better. Any one of them would have been a win for the district. And we ended up choosing Luke Minor, the current assistant superintendent for secondary schools for our district. And I think he's going to be a great leader and take our students everywhere they need to go for the future.
I agree. You know, we were looking at these three candidates that we had, and man, that was a tough choice. And I specifically here just want the public to know how hard of a decision like that truly was. I mean, I don't think that there was a single thing on any of these candidates' applications or in there anything that we all went, okay, no, this isn't going to work. I mean, no matter what direction we went, it was a really good direction for Fairbanks. So I'm really proud of that.
Yep, it's going to be a win for our students no matter which candidate we chose, and we're really looking forward to getting to some work.
There we go.
For the future.
Got to get our budget under control next, right?
Correct.
A lot of things going on with that. So speaking of budget, moving along, talk BSA. I know there's been a lot of things lately going on, a lot of rhetoric being talked about. A lot of things on different shows that are happening. Let's talk BSA increase, and let's talk why this is something that we need to make sure happens for our students.
Sure. So it's tough for me because I can't believe I find myself in the situation of sitting here asking for increased spending from the state, because yeah. I'm really a conservative and a fiscal conservative. So I hope that everyone who hears me asking for the funds understands that I am on the team of lower state spending. Don't tax the people out of their prosperity. Yeah. That Fairbanks North Star Borough School District has a $17 million deficit. It literally doesn't matter how we got there. Yeah. The team that's in place right now is ready to be responsible.
Yes.
We can't control what happened in the past or how we got to this situation. But today, to keep basic services available for our students, which, you know, people like to use that rhetoric term of like reading, writing, math, yeah, leave the rest to someone else. But who would feel good about their high school student or even their any student going into school and simply being instructed in basic reading, basic math, basic writing, and sending them home?
Right.
We want our kids well-rounded. We want them having PE. We mm-hmm. want them having music. We want them to have social studies and science.
Yeah,
I mean,
art classes.
At this point, coding and computer programming, mm-hmm. these things, those are the basics now.
Yeah.
And so we need to have a district that meets the basic needs for a diverse and changing society, like our strategic plan says.
I agree with that 100%. You know, I agree with you. you know, coming into this being two people who necessarily aren't always on the side of, hey, more money, right? I never agree with more money. Asking for more money is usually not the way to go, but this is not your typical everyday, oh, they're just asking for more money. These are our children here. These are our teachers. These are our schools. And let's face it, without our schools, we don't have a community. All of it is intertwined. We get our doctors, we get our nurses, we get our police, we get our fire, we get our city councilmen and our borough assembly members. They, once upon a time, all came from a public schooling. Most of us didn't have the luxury of having a private school, being able to go to something that, you know, was controlled elsewhere. We all went to public schools, and public schools are where our children are going to get their futures and become these big leaders in our town. And if we leave them in the dust and we don't give them that proper education and we just keep it to, I mean, we're looking at it next year. I mean, we're having to take away so much.
Yeah. Well, in Fairbanks, we've already done the responsible things. We closed three schools last year. We have downsized our programs. We have cut everywhere that we can cut and way into things that shouldn't have been cut, like our building maintenance, custodian staff, you know. Like you said before, there is just a lot of rhetoric and talking points that are being reiterated by people who aren't immersed in public education.
Yeah.
And I'd like to talk about some of those talking points that I've heard from different legislators and other people. And
I agree with that 100%. Let's take our first break. When we come back, we'll hit on some of those talking points and maybe try to refute them a little bit. Don't forget, we're broadcasting live, KFARradio.com, also 97.5 on the FM dial and 660 AM on that AM dial. We'll be right back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The all-new Fairbanks Clinic. Sure, they've been around since 1932, but now they're in their amazing new, iconic location at the corner of Cushman and Gaffney. An absolutely stunning building. And they're taking new patients right now. Fairbanks Clinic also accepts most major insurance providers. Come in and see their incredible new clinic and meet the new personnel, Dr. Nicholson and PAC Sylvia McCormick. So if you're looking for primary care, make it the new Fairbanks Clinic. Also home to Fairbanks Urology at Cushman and Gaffney. Online at fairbanksclinic.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs. Starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30. A look at Alaska's budding new industry brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company. Followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. The Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. And later, it's Fairbanks Foodies at 5:30 p.m. To kick off our Saturday night food programming. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio.
Weather brought to you by the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Your eyes connect you to your world. Care for them with the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your eye health professionals on Mini Street.
KFAR Weather.
A winter storm warning begins at 6 p.m. tomorrow evening and continues until 6 a.m. Friday morning. 18 today, under partly cloudy skies, northeast winds around 5 miles per hour. 11 tonight, chance for snow. Chance for snow tomorrow, 21. 5 to 10 inches of snow tonight through Thursday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. It's Problem Corner here on KFAR Radio, broadcasting live, 97.5 FM, 660 AM on the AM dial. You can also call in 458-TALK. That's 458-8255. Got April Smith here in the studio with me today, talking school board, talking superintendents, talking budget, and talking BSA increase. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about that BSA and some of the rhetoric that has been spouted from different legislators. I know last week, Representative Frank Tomaszewski was on Michael Duke's show and had some things to say about the BSA increase. And also, you know, with the BSA, them wanting to put some guardrails, some stipulations on money that may be going to the schools. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Sure. It's just a common thing that I hear that the the legislature, the state, wants accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure who they talk to, but they seem to think that people who they say we want accountability for this money balk at the request for accountability. But here in Fairbanks, we're all for accountability. Tell us what you want us to do with the money.
Yeah.
And I'm saying put the guardrails in place. If you want to say, get this money to the classroom, I want to know what does get money to the classroom mean?
Right.
And I'd like the legislature to put what get money to the classroom means in writing somewhere, because after spending 2.5 years on the school board, and I've had a child in public school for 15 years and always been involved, I can't figure out if the money doesn't go to the classroom where it goes.
Right.
I guess I had that mystery before I was on the school board, because I did feel there was some mysterious sort of administration place that that went to. And after just really carefully looking at the budget of every single department,
mm-hmm.
I don't see it.
Well, so one of the things that got me was one of the things I heard was, what are they going to do, just get another maintenance person?
Oh, yeah, that was
that. That really threw me for a loop, because let's think about this here, right? So maintenance, we talk about a custodian or one of our big...
A plumber,
electrician, okay? Let's look at Hutch. What happened to Hutch this past year? Their power thing went out. They had to get it replaced. First off, they had to wait for a part. We had to have people there to get the part to be able to put it in. School was delayed at Hutch by a couple of weeks for it. This past winter, they had a heating problem happen. The school still isn't properly fixed and heated. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have proper heating in a building, mm-hmm. it's winter time. Given, sure, today's 20 above, but just a week and a half ago, we were looking at 10 below, 20 below, 30 below, and we get as cold as 50 below. And if we don't have heated buildings, do you really expect that your child is going to be able to go to school, learn all they need to learn that day while freezing their tushies off?
Correct.
It doesn't happen. It's those things that I don't think people are thinking of. That maintenance person is part of the classroom. They're providing the heat. They're providing the electric. It's even as small as, like, with my daughter's class, they were short a cubby.
Mm-hmm.
They were short one cubby for one student in the class. Do you know how much of a big deal that was, that student, they didn't have a place to put their things, and it was actually detrimental to them. And even the parent came in and was like, my child's worried about where their stuff is going to be. And while that might not seem like a big deal to most people, it is to that student.
True. To a third grader.
Yeah.
Having a place that says this spot's for you is important.
It's where I can put my lunchbox.
Yeah.
It's where I can put my shoes. It's where, you know, it's things like that that people don't think about. The coat hooks, right? Mm-hmm. If we don't have maintenance to put the coat hook up.
Mm-hmm.
And while, yes, it may just be a coat hook, that's part of a classroom and part of making kids be in a safe environment where they feel comfortable in, where they can learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just hate that rhetoric of, well, they're just going to get another maintenance guy. We need several.
Yeah. We have 2,100 open work orders, and we have 7 people in our facilities maintenance department.
Yes.
So something has to give.
Something's got to give.
Something has to give. So, yeah, and another, what I'm saying to the legislature is, don't just not give us money because you think we're going to spend it wrong.
Yeah.
If that's what you think, tell us how to spend it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us how to spend it. I mean, at this point, whatever it takes for that funding to come mm-hmm. through, we're ready for that.
100%.
And you know, it's just a frustrating thing, because there are 52, 54 school districts in Alaska, and Fairbanks is just one.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how much we button up and make sure that our ducks are in a row and our programs are in order and we've cut to the bone as much as we can, we still have the Anchorage School District
mm-hmm.
running crazy. You know,
seems
and I feel
we're paying prices for them a lot.
Right. And you know, and then we have all of the rural districts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 50 of them, 48 of
yeah.
them. So it's so complicated, because right here in Fairbanks, you know, I'm on the school board, you're on the school
mm-hmm.
board. We have a lot of good people, a great team on the school board right now, that we're all in it for students. We're all in it for fiscal responsibility.
Yeah.
And we're all in it for parental understanding that parents have rights
yeah.
and keeping our students safe. So trust us, but it's not just us. It's an entire education system. So to some degree, I hear what people like Representative Tomaszewski are saying, but, you know, something's got to give there. So I'm saying, tell us what you want us to do with the money.
Right.
We'll do that. The borough said, we're going to give you $1 million last year. Mm-hmm. We want you to make sure that there's a kindergarten aide in every classroom.
There's a stipulation for the money.
Right. But we actually don't have to follow that. They're not allowed to bind that money to us. But we have sort of an agreement, mm-hmm. and we kept our word. And we are going to keep our word.
Yeah.
Let's hear it, what you want for this accountability. And I'd just like to throw it out there that what I think that a lot of people mean by accountability is they want to see us move up from 49th on the
They want to see those test scores.
You want to see the test scores go up. And as a parent, I'm just really not that focused on those test scores. If people have ever seen how the test gets given, you take a kindergartner who can hardly hold a pencil and you put a pair of headphones on them and give them a computer with a mouse and ask them to take a test.
And then, so my daughter said something to me 2 weeks ago. They were doing the MAPS testing, right? And my daughter came home and she was super excited because, man, she finished her MAPS math test in 20 minutes and she was the first one. And I'm like, honey, that was not what you were supposed to do. It wasn't about finishing first. It was about finishing right. And get, you know, so we also have those things to look at when it comes to test scores. So while I agree, I would love to see our test scores raise until we figure out how to get our kids to not race through it. Our test scores, that portion of it, you won't necessarily see a big increase. But what we can see an increase in is things like what happened at Denali this winter. You know, they, while, we might be looking like our scores are very minimal, the reading at Denali, they just got an award for it this past winter. You know, so it's things like that where we are making strides, huge ones.
Yeah, and you know, Melissa, I've been really digging into those old NAEP scores because they're just constantly the thing that says, you don't need money, you're failing with the money we gave you.
Yeah.
So when I looked into it, I said, all right, tell me what's the number one place in the nation. So I go to them, I look them up, and you know what? Their legislature funds them being number one because they have a parent to teacher or a pupil to teacher ratio of 16. 16 students to one set by their legislature, and then they fund their schools to 16 to one.
I think ours is currently at 27?
In elementary school.
Yeah, in elementary
school. You know, and so when you have literally twice as many students in the classroom, you have half as much time with each student. Mm-hmm. And so while it's true, money, throwing money at things is not always the answer. I 100% agree with that.
100%.
There is a minimum amount of money that we need to have a quality education program. And right now in Fairbanks, we're just asking for the minimum that we need of $17 million to do the thing we did last year. Just to get by last year. That's not doing any improvements. That's not doing major building maintenance. That's not hiring anybody new.
Nope, that's maintaining.
Just maintaining.
Yes.
And so for me, I think if the legislature wants results, they have to fund to PTR. The number of students in the classroom has a very large effect.
Mm-hmm.
And if they want small sizes in the classroom, they'll have to fund it. Because small class sizes is where you're going to see that huge change in results.
Well, until we can pay to bring more teachers in to lower those classroom sizes.
I know.
You know, that's where we're at. We can't afford to pay the teachers we have, let alone bring in the new ones that we want so that we can see these classroom sizes drop. The PTR, I won't even try to fake it here. I mean, we're looking at PTRs above 30 for next year with our $17 million budget deficit. And this BSA increase that we're asking for, the $1,000 is not going to save us. It's not going to dig us out of this hole. It will allow us to maintain. It will allow us a point where we can at least look at community solutions to start climbing forward. We just need to be brought to this place of zero, right? If we could just get to this plane of zero, we can use our community sources, our solutions, and we can fix our district. And I don't think it's too far gone. I mean, we can fix this.
We can fix it because we have a really good team of people working for the solution. Mr. Meinhardt, who is our newly hired superintendent, he's an innovator, he's a leader, and I think that he's going to take a look at doing things different so that we can move forward, not doing the same old thing, trying
Absolutely
to get a different
agree.
Result.
Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
KFAR Radio, you're on the air with Melissa in April. Who's this?
This is Matt. How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you, Matt? What can we do for you?
Well, I just want to listen to you guys talk about the school issues. Before all the COVID stuff started, and there was like...
and I think we lost you there for a second.
Okay. Before COVID, we had 133,000 children, correct, in the school total in the state?
Oh, I'm mostly familiar with Fairbanks. I couldn't speak to the total number of students.
Yeah, that's what the number was, 133,000 statewide.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're down to around 90,000 in the school system. So you guys have lost quite a few children. They're not coming back.
Right.
And then before this, we had some crazy number of superintendents. We had as many superintendents in the state of Alaska as the state of California had. Exactly. And California had a few million children in their school system. And they could do it with the same number that we had. So now we're losing kids. And you guys are still hiring superintendents, and you're talking about not having enough teachers. These superintendents can give them two or three school districts to one. You can lower this number down. I mean, look what California does it.
Yeah, I mean, I can agree with you on that. Here in Anchorage, they have one superintendent, and they have over 40,000 students. Here in Fairbanks, we have one superintendent. We have over 12,000 students. In the MATSU, they have 15,000 students. They have one superintendent. And what we have is there are five large school districts in the state of Alaska. So we have Juneau, Kenai, MATSU, Fairbanks, Anchorage. And those five school districts have five superintendents, and they cover almost all the students.
It must be the villages come
it's
off
true.
Their own superintendents
yes.
for little
Correct.
Schools.
Some school districts have less than 100 students, and they still have a superintendent. And so yes. I can 100% agree with you that this is a statewide problem that I would support fully, making some more larger areas that combine their administration on that level, and also combining the health care costs for those very small districts.
And the other thing would be that, so if you could cut the number of, those guys are $500,000, it's $1 million a year after benefit for each one of them. So that's, there's a huge amount of money that could be taken there.
We hear you 100%. Time for us to go to a break, and we thank you so much for your call. KFAR Radio, please hang in. A little bumper music for you from Boston. We'll be back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Rejecting claims by Russian President Vladimir Putin that the West is fueling the war in Ukraine.
No one can turn away their eyes from the atrocities Russia is committing against the Ukrainian people. It's abhorrent. It's abhorrent.
The president is meeting with leaders of Eastern European countries ahead of the one-year anniversary of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, reaffirming U.S. and NATO support of Ukraine's defense. Well, many residents of Palestine, Ohio, remain upset with the response of Norfolk Southern Railway and the federal government following the toxic release of chemicals after a train derailment.
While some in the town want to press on, pointing to the schools being open successfully for over a week and the safe readings from EPA's water and air tests, still others don't trust what the government is telling them. Norfolk Southern, too.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson is in East Palestine. America's listening to Fox News.
Jason in the house.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Fairbanks Daily News Miner reports that Girl Scouts from Healy, North Pole, and Nome are the top sellers of cookies this season in the northern region, and a large number of Scouts sold more than 500 boxes each. Rural troops in Barrow, Nome, Tok, Healy, and Delta Junction sold 26,000 boxes of cookies, which represents about 26% of all cookies sold in the northern region. The Scouts had 3 weeks in January to collect orders. Cookies will be delivered in March. The price of Girl Scout cookies went up this year to $6 per box. The price hike was the result of increased ingredients and higher shipping costs, according to Sue Ellen Nellis, director of the Far North Girl Scout Council. Troops receive 85 cents per box, plus the girls can earn individual prizes, Nellis said. Our troops use that money for their troop activities throughout the year and community service projects. Sometimes troops can save their cookie money for troop travel. A troop from Nome is going to Europe this summer, she said. All money stays with the local council, and no funds are shared with the national organization.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
If your home needs replacement windows or patio doors, do you want to know the window company that more than 5,700 Alaska homeowners chose to replace their windows? That's right. It's Renewal by Anderson. I'm Chris Dunn from Renewal by Anderson. Don't settle for inferior vinyl windows. Our composite window material is 2 times stronger than vinyl and will help keep your home more comfortable. Right now, buy one window or patio door and get one 40% off. Plus, with our SmartPay programs, don't pay anything for a year. Renewal by Anderson window and patio doors are the most trusted in Alaska. And that's just one of the many reasons why more than 5,700 Alaska homeowners have chosen us. Call before February 28th to schedule a free consultation with Renewal by Anderson and get a price that's good for an entire year. Call 885-3100. 885-3100. That's 885-3100.
Tune in to Shooter's Corner, your source for news and conversation regarding guns, local events, and your Second Amendment rights, with your host, Laura Berkowitz. Sponsored in part by Auto Trim Design, an Alaskan company offering products that help you get the most out of your car or truck. Moose lights, auto starts, bug shields, spray-on bed liners, signs, graphics, and more. Visit Auto Trim Design and listen in every Thursday morning at 11 to Shooter's Corner, right here on KFAR Radio.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM,
and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back to Problem Corner, broadcasting live, KFARradio.com, 660 AM, and 97.5 FM on that FM dial. Today's topic, of course, everything to do with school board. Mr. Pruse in Juneau for his wonderful legislative session, which I know we're getting ready to go off and do for ourselves here in school board. Going to move the conversation along. You know, been talking BSA and superintendents and money for the school district. Let's move along to curriculum and math. I know some rhetoric has been said, and I know you've got a lot to say about it. So let's start off with curriculum.
Sure. So one of the things that I often hear people say is that our students are ending up having to take remedial math classes in order to go to UAF. Mm-hmm. And so I feel that our district, like I said, we can't solve the problems for the whole state, but our district really heard that. And last year we reviewed our math curriculum, and we found that one of the problems is that we're giving students credit for algebra in middle school. Mm-hmm. And Algebra 1 is the requirement, the required math to graduate.
Yep.
And then they had to have 3 credits. So they were getting their Algebra 1 in 8th grade. And then they were taking 2 years of math in high school. And then they were not taking math again.
Let's hang on a second. We got a phone call.
Okay.
Caller, you're on the air with Melissa and April.
Good morning, Miss Al.
Hi, how are you?
Great. I'm glad you ladies came back on. You have a wonderful show.
Oh, thank you very much. What can we do for you today?
Well, maybe a little clarification, or I misunderstood you the last time you were on the show, and you were talking about fables, and you said if you eliminated the administration budget, it would be a drop in the bucket. So I was curious about that, and then why are we letting go teachers, if which are our smaller group of people, than the administration?
Well, that's a great question, because I have heard that rumor as well going around that we have more administrators than teachers. We have over 1,000 teachers.
Yes, we have a lot of teachers.
We only have 1,600 employees, including every janitor and administrator mm-hmm. and secretary and teaching assistant, kindergarten aides, all of those people. Are included in when people say non-teaching staff. So we're not talking about administrators there.
Yeah.
When I'm talking about administrators, I think people mean the people who work on Fifth Avenue.
Right.
The executive directors, the superintendents.
Let's fix that. I mean, there are not, our downtown building currently is actually suffering, and we're letting go of, I want to say, 6 administrators.
There are cuts.
There are cuts to the downtown building this year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we are doing some. While we are talking our teachers and stuff, but we are also cutting from downtown this year as well. So it's not just our teachers that are paying the price.
We don't hear those in the advertisements.
Of course,
right.
Of course not.
It doesn't match the narrative that some people want to have. And so when people talk about I've been hearing that go around that there's 5 administrators for every 4 teachers.
That's not true.
That's your statistic? No. That is definitely not the case in our district. Like I said, in some of the very small rural districts, that might be the case. But we have no control over that. We're controlling what we can here in Fairbanks. And here in Fairbanks, when people want to use that statistic, they are including every person who's in the building who is not a certified teacher.
Yes.
So every speech therapist, every occupational therapist,
every secretary,
every custodian, the groundskeeper that shovels the snow. So it's not like those are million-dollar administrators. We're talking about, an educational support staff employee who's not getting paid $1 million.
Well, great. That's why I called for clarification, because I wasn't sure about that when I heard it last time you were on.
Yeah, no, what we're talking about there are just the people that work here in the downtown administration building,
mm-hmm.
Because that's what I think of when mm-hmm. people say we need to cut the extra overhead administration. So if we cut everyone that works in the downtown administrative building, it really wouldn't make a significant impact it would. But it wouldn't solve our problems. It wouldn't go hardly anywhere to solving our problems.
Let me just ask you this before I get off then. Another rumor maybe, because I never verified it. But, it's been said that there's, second, third assistant principals.
Well, in the high school, yes. When you have a huge high school like Lathrop High School has almost 1,000 students.
Yeah. Same as West Valley.
Right. In West Valley, Lathrop have 1,000 students. North Pole High School has almost 700 students. And so, yes, they do have 1 principal, 2 assistant principals.
Right.
But right now, one of those assistant principals is acting as an activities coordinator
mm-hmm.
because we cut the activities coordinator position from the high schools. And then usually one of those assistant principals is basically a discipline principal. They're the main person in the building that's handling discipline issues. And so where I think a lot of people don't understand what the principal does. You know, they're doing all the evaluations of all the teachers, making sure that the teachers are on task. They're reviewing all of the syllabuses and getting everything mm-hmm. that the teachers need to do their work. So they have an assistant principal who's taking all of the discipline and the activities, and then another assistant principal that's helping both of those two with their overflow.
I know when I was in school, the principal shelled out the discipline. I can tell you firsthand. The same discipline they get today.
Yeah, well, I was in school 30 years ago, and I had, in my high school, we had a principal and two assistant principals. And so I, and one of them was definitely the discipline guy. So I won't tell you if I knew him well or not. So yeah, we're trying to keep things under wraps, and I really appreciate you calling and getting your myths cleared up, because I like to be the Mythbuster school board member. I just tell it like it is. If there's something troublesome going on over there, I'm ready to lay it out. And if there's not, I'm also ready to lay it out.
Well, and that's something that I'd like to say, too. You know, a lot of people just like to talk in general, right? I mean, it happens in everyday life. It doesn't matter what the subject matter may be. People just like to talk. People like to, I mean, let's take the balloons that are happening, for example. How many things are all across social media about these balloons up in the sky, right? I mean, everybody likes to have something to say. If you have questions, questions about the school board, about what's happening in our district, about what's happening at the admin building, how many admin we actually have per teacher, or whatever the question may be, please don't hesitate. Each of our members on the school board are very active. They are very willing to talk to you. Our school board president is absolutely amazing at responding to emails. You have questions, we want to answer them, and we want to kind of get away from all these myths and these rumors that like to fly around about our schools, because at the end of the day, our children are the focus, and we need to get the focus back to them. And I'm actually really excited for our school board now that we have. You know, I ran for a purpose, right? I ran because I didn't like the direction that the school board necessarily was taking with each other. And now, in my opinion, the temperament in the room has definitely chilled out a little bit. And people are having conversations now. And we're being effective. And I haven't spoken to a single one of us who has gone off the rails about something. We are all on the same page when it comes to our schools needing funding, us needing to fix our curriculum, us needing to fix some of our policies and get this thing back on track. We've got another caller. Caller, you are on the radio with Melissa and April.
How you doing, Melissa and April? This is Lee out of Denali.
Lee, how are you, sir?
Doing very well, and I'm glad you guys are covering this very important topic, and it's something that a lot of people need to become a little more familiar with, because to be honest with you, when you mention BSA, most people get a glazed over look on their face, and they don't really understand basically where it goes or why we're even supplying it. But one of the things I would like for you guys, if you could, to cover over is with this request for an increase, and obviously depending on which scumbag politician you talk to, it ranges from $860 per year to a new range of up to $1,000 of increase per year. And keep in mind that the current rate is $5,930 for fiscal year 22, which extends into this calendar year, if I recall correctly. So with that in mind, if you guys could tap dance a little bit on where this extra money is supposed to go. And of course, we always hear it's for the children, but nobody really explains what that means, as in, is it going to be going for the children that have special needs? And if so, what percentage? Will it be going for a Title VII impact area? And if so, what percent? How much is going into the teachers' compensation packages? And I didn't say salary, I said compensation package, because that's all encompassing. Mm-hmm. So these are the things people need to hear, so that if there's a true need for it, we can get behind it. The other side of it is, when the only rant is it's for the children, that no longer qualifies as being viable, because the first people at the trough, and this is coming from the NEA itself, the first people at the trough are the teachers and the staff and everybody else that's covered by their union activity. And again, I would like to hear what you guys have to say off that, and I'll take your answer off the air. Thank you.
Fantastic. Hey, Lee, first off, thank you so much for calling in and for all of that. You happen to call in right at break time. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to our last little break right here. And when we come back, we will dive into the request, the difference in the numbers, what our current numbers are at, and a little bit about negotiations. That'll be when we come back. Thanks so much, Lee.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hey Fairbanks, Milwaukee Tools and Denali Industrial Supply are excited to announce our huge winter Milwaukee Mega Sale! With over 100 tools, kits, batteries, blades, bits, hand tools, accessories, more than a person can count! Stop in and talk to our knowledgeable sales staff. But don't wait, the huge winter Milwaukee Mega Sale is only at Denali Industrial Supply through February, and only while supplies last. Denali Industrial Supply, 1499 Van Horn Road. Look for the big red roof.
Nowadays, nothing is more important than saving money. And the best way to do that is with the radio station's 50-50 Friday offer. Every week, a different special from a different local business, offering gift certificates at half price. All from your favorite restaurants, shops, and events. So what's this week's 50-50 Friday offer?
Want the perfect date night or need to relieve some stress? Well, throw an axe. The Alaska Axe Company, corner of Lathrop and Van Horn. It's like darts on steroids. Rent out a lane for you or a group of friends. Upstairs area available for parties and corporate events, with tournaments and leagues forming soon. Fun for ages 14 and up. Come throw axes in a clean, safe environment. Corner Van Horn and Lathrop open 6 days a week till 11 p.m. on weekends. And with 50-50 Friday, you can rent your lane for half price. The Alaska Axe Company is this week's 50-50 Friday special.
Just log on to this station's website and click on that red 50-50 tag in the upper right-hand corner. Have your credit card ready and get ready to save big. 50-50 Friday, every Friday at 9 a.m. from the radio station.
Weather is being brought to you by Frontier Outfitters, your store for the outdoor. Your next outdoor adventure begins at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
KFAR Weather.
A winter storm warning begins at 6 p.m. tomorrow evening and continues until 6 a.m. Friday morning. Overcast today with snow showers likely. High of 18, winds out of the north, around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, snow likely 11. 5 to 10 inches of snow tonight through Thursday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Problem Corner, broadcasting live, 97.5 FM and 660 AM on that AM dial. We're also online, kfarradio.com, here in the studio with April. Before I get to Lee's question, April wanted to finish her thought real quick on math, and then we'll get into all this request for the increase. Go ahead, April. Let's finish with the math.
So I just wanted to let people know that we did change our math requirement, that no matter what, you have to take 3 years of math in high school.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter anymore. If you took that algebra, you still get the credit for the algebra, so you can graduate. But now you need 3 elective credits of math. And so we really listened to that. We heard, and so that kids don't have that multi-year gap of math, because math is like a foreign language. You have to keep using it or you lose it.
Yes.
And we think that's what was happening to students, that we were providing quality math opportunities, but the students weren't taking them because they weren't required to, and so now we're requiring a little more.
Well, there you go. Well, math was always a required thing when I was in high school, too, so this is great. You know, and like you said, if you don't use it, you do lose it. Math,
if you don't use it, you lose it.
You know, I can't tell you how many foreign languages I took that I don't remember a lick of anymore.
Me neither.
So, now, Lee just called a few minutes ago, you know, talking about the different numbers in the legislature going around right now. The request increase of the $860 to $1,200, I think, is the current number that got thrown around. We in Fairbanks originally agreed with the $860 increase. That's what we were asking for. That was our bottom dollar. This is what it'll take. Help us get out of the woods. And this money would go directly to the classroom via teachers, via supplies, via maintenance, whatever it is that needed to be done to make our classrooms safe and ready for children, and also for that PTR, to lessen that PTR and to get these classroom sizes down. We would like to get more teachers in our buildings so that that is something that happens, especially for elementary students in our high schools, where things are little crazy number-wise. If you've had a chance to visit, we are sitting there in some of our schools at that higher PTR rate. We also, with ASB, threw out the $1,000 number, and the $1,000 that we are now asking for is so that we can be good into fiscal year 25. What we are asking for now is a chance to survive, to get out of the woods on where we are. April, maybe you can help me explain this a little better.
Yeah, sure. Just the $860 is what we need to meet our budget with cuts. Mm-hmm. Now that we've basically run out of COVID money in Fairbanks, we basically have no savings.
Yep,
and
no
so
fine.
We're in a really bad position. And like I said at the beginning, at this point, it doesn't matter how we got there. Getting there was a long-term mm-hmm. issue.
Yes.
It was preceded me, preceded you, preceded a lot of people on the board now.
Yes.
And so this board, we want to start having like a little breathing room where we can build a small emergency fund, and where we can get our pupil-to-teacher ratio in the classroom back to a best practices size.
Yes.
We're nowhere near best practices. So we can't have best results if we don't have
best practices.
And so we're just trying to get back to best practices there. And I think that our district is working hard to not ask for too much money.
Yeah.
Our current chief school administrator, Ms. Moline, said at a recent work session when someone asked, why don't we just ask for $15 million from the borough?
Well, because it's coming from our taxpayers.
Because we're good neighbors.
Yeah.
And the school district wants to be a good neighbor. And we don't want to burden our neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
We want to do the best we can for our students while being responsible. And so when people ask us, where's that $1,000 going to go? It's going to go to smaller class sizes.
Yes.
Which means more teachers. So what the caller said, is it just going to go to the teachers at the trough? Well, the teachers are the school.
Yes.
I mean, yes, we have the buildings, we have to heat them, we have to maintain them, so we need all those people. But if there wasn't a teacher in the classroom, what is education?
Yeah.
Where is it coming from? And so, yes, 88% of our budget goes to goes to employees.
Yeah.
Not just educators, but employee salaries and benefits. So where's it going to go? Yes, it's going to go to adults.
Yes.
I'm not sure what people mean when they say we want it to go to the children, because we don't give children cash for school.
Well, you giving it to the teachers going to the
right.
children, because another teacher will allow us, like if we've got the best example I think we got the other day in a work session actually came from Mr. Dershin over at Randy Smith, right? He has 6 classes in each grade. He needs 6 teachers to fill those 6 classes in each grade. The perfect number for him is 18. And that is what gets him through, right? That was
right.
the perfect example. But now he's looking at 15. So you go from having 18 teachers down to 15. So that's 3 classrooms of, we're facing 26 plus students right now. So that's 3 classrooms at 26 students each, now having to be integrated into those other classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
There's your increase. So when we say that we're going to give the money to the teachers, it's so that we can get Mr. Dershin his 18 teachers so that his PTR is down at 24, 25.
Right, and Mr. Dershin even mentioned also that he had in the 20s teachers
mm-hmm.
5 or 6 years ago.
Yes.
And so 18 is really a minimum working model
yeah.
for a middle school with his yep. size of 3 grades, and he has a small middle school.
Yeah.
So it's there is a minimum
mm-hmm.
function, and sure, you can operate below the minimum, and you can get by, but is getting by what we want for our students?
Well, and then we go back to the test scores and our grades and being number 49 in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it is. It's in our PTR. And if we can't fix our PTR,
yeah. You know, and another thing that the caller actually brought up was our negotiations.
Yes, and how much is going to go to the teachers?
Yeah, how much is going to go to the teachers? How much of it's going to be these big teacher raises? And, well, I think, you know, we have ongoing negotiations with two of our unions. And our principals union, they really were a part of the team here, seeing that we don't have funds. They took a 0% raise. We gave them a small stipend to, you know, have goodwill with them. And they're really a part of the team. And we're really working with our other unions to see what we can come up with. Because we're all on the same team. We all have the same goal.
Yeah.
We all want a quality work environment. We all want good paying jobs, good benefits for our neighbors and our classroom teachers.
Good retirement that'll last us.
You know, and so everyone's on the same page. It's just a matter of working out the details and getting there. And I don't think that anyone in our district is looking to just, like, overflow their trough from the state to, you know, we don't get to take home the change. You know,
right,
the
right.
teachers don't get to, like, pack the extra money that we don't give to the classroom under their mattress.
I think the school board also this year is more in tune with, okay, what are we actually doing with this? You know, all of us are sitting here with that fine tooth comb going, hey, wait a second. Hey, wait a second. Hey, wait a second. So not that promises mean anything and not that trust is even there, but our school board is working very hard to get that trust back.
And yeah, a good example of a trust, Melissa, is I actually was hearing someone on another talk show saying how all we do with the money is we then cycle it and we use all the money to go down to Juneau and ask for more money. And they see nothing but teachers and lobbyists and administrators in Juneau wasting tens of thousands of dollars. Well, in Fairbanks, we actually cut our board member travel. So all of our board members have been really committed, extra super double committed to spending our own money. If we want to go to Juneau and lobby, we're going to have to go there with our own funds because Fairbanks is bare bones. And we're all processing that to the deepest cuts where we're not just spending tens of thousands of dollars of someone else's money.
We didn't go to the fly-in. We didn't go
to our legislative fly-ins with all the other school districts because we can't afford it. We are really trying to live the truth that we are selling here. We are taking the cuts as deeply as possible without hurting the students.
And that's all we can do. And so we live by our word. You know, we're asking for something that we know is not a popular ask. We know, especially as conservatives, that, you know, going to government and saying, hey, more money is not, they, we, trust me, we know the looks that we get and we know where that goes. But our problems and our issues, which doesn't matter how we got here, it does not matter. That's a moot point. Neither of us were on the board. Our whole board that sits there now was not on the board when decisions, mostly when decisions were being made. And, you know, things happened. COVID happened. That was huge. You know, the loss of revenue from that. We are at a point now where we do need money. We do need that ask. We are trying our hardest to be good recipients of the money and trustworthy with it as well. And we welcome guidelines. We welcome accountability. We welcome anything that will make it so that the trust will be there and people know we're not just wasting.
Yeah, and I personally welcome literally anyone to sit down with our budget with me and ask me, what does that mean? What about this money over here? Because if you find something that needs to be cut that I overlooked, that our entire administrative team overlooked, that our entire board overlooked, and I'm like, you know what? You're right. That could go. I'm going to work with you, and we're going to get that through. And so I personally, my phone, my personal cell phone number and my email address are right there on the Fairbanks website. Just look up Fairbanks School Board. All of us have our numbers there. People can call me anytime.
Anytime. Thank you, April, for being here today. Thank you for listening and hanging in with us. Tomorrow, we will have a fun, nefarious character for fun on Wednesdays here on KFAR. And we will see you guys later. Gonna leave you with a little Steve Miller Band.
This is your talk station.
There's absolutely no doubt in my mind.